The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, good morning, everyone. As he mentioned, Mr. Stephen Fleury is taking a short break. He'll probably have an occasional break over the next 3 weeks or so as he attends to matters at SEP. He's the director there. They're, as he mentioned yesterday, kind of rebooting the program. And so that's going to require a lot of his attention, as there's a lot of other business that does as well. So be prepared for a few guest hosts for the Trumpet Daily Radio program. I'm very honored to be here. My name's Andrew Locher, and I have quite a smattering of different subjects to get into with you today. Last night was the final planned performance for Celtic Throne. We've had a number of live shows, as you've been hearing, here both here in Edmond as well as in Branson. We, of course, would love to see this show go all over the world, as you've heard. Last night was just really a fantastic presentation. The young people just continue to amaze. Each time that I see that performance, I think it's gotten better than the previous one. We had some parents that were dropping off their children for SEP. Some of them chose to stay behind to watch the performance last night, which is a great decision. And yet on the way out, I was talking to some members from Ohio that dropped their son off here. And then they were going to drive back home 14 hours after the performance last night. I got home to bed about 10 p.m. and I was pretty tired. So it just shows you how enthusiastic God's people are about this production. And again, they were just absolutely excited. They said it'd probably take six hours at least for the adrenaline to wear off from the show. So hopefully they made it home safely, and hopefully there will be more production sometime down the road. I think we'll hear more about that as time goes on. There's really nothing secretive here that I know. I just believe after talking to everybody that they feel like it's kind of a letdown now after all the work that's gone into preparing this. The technical guys that did things, the teachers, the dance instructors, the producers, everybody that invested so much time, and it's just yielded such a beautiful production. So I think we're all hoping that it will live on in one form or another. We will, of course, have the music available and the video available on our website. The music is spectacular. So again, it's not that it's going away. It just has to at the moment, because even though we put all that work and effort into it, and when I say we, I didn't really do very much for it, but everybody else that did, they're moving right into summer camp today. Time marches on. The work of God marches on. We are fully into SEP. In fact, yesterday, as the dancers and the musicians were making their final preparations for Celtic Throne, the campers were in an orientation meeting for camp. It used to be that we felt like, well, these activities kind of stack up one next to each other. Now they're even overlapping. It is a busy time, and yet it's just fantastic. I think everybody's tired, but everybody's also pretty charged up for what lies ahead. We're just a few weeks away from school starting, which is really, I think, good news. I was going to say bad news in the sense that it's just yet another big project to undertake, but that's what we love to do. And this was kind of a shock to me. We're 13 weeks away from the Feast of Tabernacles. All of this activity in the context of a world that's falling apart. I heard on the radio just the other day that we're less than 120 days away from the U.S. presidential election. And good news, Kanye West has said he's coming out and running for president. People joked about it, and yet he said he's serious. So who knows? Maybe it'll be President West to follow along President Donald Trump. Well, I think we all know better than that. And I feel bad for him in a way. He's kind of mocked. Clearly, there's some kind of an agenda behind this. It does put your name in the press, so he's at least achieved that. And yet, it just shows how fractured and how just in a lot of ways, it's just very interesting, these last 120 days that run up to the election. if you look around the world, and we're going to talk about this as we go through the program, mostly in the second segment. If you look around the world, there's conditions indicating that the fulfillment of six verses is right on the horizon. These six verses that I'll get to later are perhaps the most frequently quoted by this church in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Coronavirus is still complicating things. Just to listen to the news story about Dr. Fauci, that guy's a real piece of work. I had a lot of respect for him at the beginning. He seemed to be pretty level-headed, but it's like he's like Kanye West. He wants to stay in the spotlight. You know, yeah, there's only 1% death, but that's no reason to get our hopes up high. Don't let that fool you. Don't take any confidence in the fact that the death rate is suppressed and going down. No, there's still cause for concern. What? It's just ludicrous. And the whole world's buying into it. Even the news people and the talking about it all over the world, it's as though it's a concerted effort by the liberals to really push this on. And really, you couldn't coordinate all of them into this agenda unless there was a higher power behind it. And I think you know what I'm talking about there. We've talked about it. This is Satan stirring things up, causing division, and using whatever vehicle he can that will incite this fear, anger, and just the bitterness that's tearing this nation apart. Well, before we get into all of that news, I wanted to talk a little bit about the 2020 summer educational program that's sponsored by the Philadelphia Church of God. We have a full complement of young people here this year. They'll be attending. They'll be participating. If you're watching the YouTube stream, you see some pictures from the past. It's really a great sight to see. The worker to camper ratio is quite high. We put a lot of effort into serving these young people. And as I said, this year we have the full complement of campers, but we had to really go down to the younger ages. And those things are not coincidental. I think God is realizing just how wonderful our young people are, how capable they are. You could bring an 11 or a 12-year-old into an environment here on this campus for the instruction that they're going to receive, this foundation in education, all wrapped around a lot of fun activities, a lot of challenges. I think we have something for everybody this year. And if not, then I'm sure we'll figure it out and add it next year. The activities are spectacular, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that later. Just incidentally, I think Satan is really attacking this summer educational program. The water pressure on campus is zero right now. The first day, no showers. At least it was that way at the Hall of Administration just about 15 minutes ago. Also, there's going to be a lot of temperature increase, a lot of heat at camp this year. And again, it provides opportunity for the membership, for the parents, and for the young people to all be praying that God keeps the temperatures reasonable, that there's water so they can wash the smell off, just to make camp a little bit more enjoyable for everybody. It has been difficult getting everybody here, especially from the international areas, but the day has come. They all arrived yesterday. We do have, they've had to fight the COVID restrictions that, again, continue to frustrate but not stop God's people from doing his work. And as I'll talk about a little bit later in the program, it's an attack from Satan. He's using coronavirus now to even impact the education of children. Not just here, part of the summer educational program, but it's really hitting the news. I thought it had a big scoop until about yesterday afternoon and evening and this morning. There's a lot of talk now about what are we going to do with public school? Are we going to reopen the schools? Well, we'll address that in more detail in a few moments. But again, going back to the summer camp here, I didn't take time to count accurately, but I believe we've probably had 20 to 25 camps in the United States. We've also hosted them internationally in Australia, in the UK, and also in the Philippines. And a lot of the college students that are here now, in fact, many of the employees of God's Church have gone through youth camps in the past. And they really are a wonderful tool that can have a profound impact on a young person's life. Ironically, or incidentally, I guess you could say, in Celtic Throne, one of the messages that's portrayed there is just family education, where you have older people teaching younger people who teach younger people, and you go from generation to generation, and you move through this education, and it's really a fantastic way to raise young people. One example comes vividly to mind for me, and that's Mr. Ryan Malone. And his father was very entertaining. From memory, he played the piano. He sang. He was just a wonderful, loving man who raised his family with music. Mr. Ryan Malone, he's the music director for the college, for the academy. He's the host of Music for Life here on KPCG. He's well accomplished as a composer, as a pianist, a vocalist. And I think perhaps the thing that amazes me most about Mr. Malone is you can find any instrument in the world, hand it over to him, and in about 2 weeks later, he's up there on stage playing for everybody. Like, he grew up with it. Just a really inspiring talent there. He, of course, married another professional musician. His wife is just a world-class vocalist, I'd have to say, and she teaches at our schools. And then the product of that marriage, three children that are talented musicians, and dare I say, perhaps even more talented, more refined, more capable than their parents. And they're all involved in the education, the music education programs here. My daughter, in fact, is a student of one of Mr. Ryan Malone's children. And so you see this great family teaching and all the opportunities to perform on stage, to perform in recitals. It's just really a tremendous program. The church has invested quite a bit in the summer educational program over the years. Each camp session costs about $125,000. So if we've had 20 to 25 of those over the years, if you do the math, that's a $2 to $3 million investment God has made just in summer camp. The campers come here, they pay, I think, a reasonable tuition to attend. Many, many individuals donate separately to the summer educational program. There are restricted donations that are earmarked for camp, but I would estimate over the years more than $150,000 has been contributed just for summer camp. We've had individuals donate equipment, provide scholarships. Local church areas have had fundraisers to provide the resources for somebody maybe a little disadvantaged that couldn't afford to come. Well, the church comes together and gets those young people here. All of this builds family. And that's what's so exciting about what's taking place here. The world is bitter and hate-filled. And it's just watching some of the news clips this morning, and you just think it's chaotic. It's really frustrating. And yet, if you look at God's work, we just had the most inspiring performance and just really uplifting. And you march right into summer camp that's overlapping, and we'll have maybe a couple of days off, and we get right into school. We get right into the Feast of Tabernacles, then on into the ministerial conference. It just goes on and on. What an exciting, exciting work to be part of. Well, I want to shift gears now. I'm on page 2 out of 8, so we're going to have to move a little faster here. But I wanted to talk about the Key of David program. Last time that I hosted this program, I spoke a little bit about considerations to go on USA Network with the Key of David program. That ended up not working out. We are not going to contract with them. We had audition tapes and discussions with their standards and management team, their programming team, and they decided not to move forward because they felt they would have to invest too many individuals' efforts into vetting each program. They didn't have a problem with anything we said. They made that very clear. They were very respectful, but they were having their legal team look at it, their programming team, their standards team, and they just said, well, so many people have to watch the program here. We can't do that for paid programming. And it's too bad, because if they would have watched it, maybe they'd been converted and we'd get a better time. But anyway, we're not going to go on USA Network. It's some ways it's a little comforting to us, too, knowing that each week we would have kind of been on just on the edge, not knowing whether or not they would have issue with the content of the program. We would have loved to have had the size of the audience, but it would have caused us to have to juggle our finances around a little bit. But as God always does, is that door shut, another door open. The very same day we were notified that we were approved to go on the Fox Business Network, with the television program with the Key of David. It's less visible than the more secular, popular USA Network, but in a lot of ways, Fox Business Network is a better fit for our message. As you'd expect, the audience is older. They're more conservative in their thinking. USA is very popular for the programming, but not for the reasons that would appeal to us. And so you can kind of see how God moves things around. On Fox Business Network, the programming includes different shows hosted by Stuart Varney, Neil Cavuto, Lou Dobbs, Charles Payne, all individuals that we quote regularly in our publications and on this on KPCG. If you have DirecTV, you can watch Fox Business Channel on channel 359. On Dish, it's 206, channel 206. And it's on pretty much every other cable system across the country, not always in the basic cable package, so you might have to look around for that a little bit. But Fox Business Network claims that they have 80 million potential viewers. And so possibly a large, large open door for us. They're also on XM Radio with about 10 million subscribers. On their website, they said in 2017, Fox Business Network marked a full year as the most watched business television network, according to Nielsen. And then they had several reports since then that they've held that number one position for being the most viewed financial or business network. So it is a great place for us to be. The program will air at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And it's a single feed, so 12 noon Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific. So really good time for us on that network. It'll probably take a little bit of time to get off the ground as far as response goes. We're in the middle of the summer slump. But it's a new audience and something for us to be praying about. Mr. Gerald Fleury has been taping quite a few new programs this year. He's on pace to tape, I think, about 34 or 35 new programs this season. We typically average about 28 to 30. So he's recording more programs. We've had a 13% increase in response year to date compared to last year at the same time. And to just explain the significance of that, that's really a good sign. We've had about 9 fewer repeat programs. Repeats are picked for a number of reasons, so they're relevant to what's going on. But we also pick programs that responded well. And so not knowing that we're picking, you know, really responsive programs, to see that increase in response, I think is really, it's a very positive movement for the program. What we just aired this weekend, the Haggai Shaking the Nations program, it's the 10th time we've aired that program. And this last weekend was the second most responsive airing we've ever had for that program. That's really pretty remarkable. 10 times. And here we are at 4th of July weekend, and it's the second best it's ever done. That program was taped, I think, in 2009. And still very relevant and still causes a lot of people to want to request that material. Now, here's another bit of good news. Our programming costs, the amount of money we spend on airtime, is down 18% compared to last year. Again, more response, less expense. That's a great business equation for us. Now, Fox Business Network will change that a little bit. If you have access to 80 million people, you have to pay for that. And so our costs will increase, but hopefully we'll have a corresponding or even larger percentage increase in the amount of response. Lastly here, I just want to reference the Key of David on YouTube. We now have over 13 million views on our YouTube channel. If I remember right, I think we started that in about 2007. Is that right, David? Yes, 2007. So we were on there before, didn't really establish a channel. So really, if you just look back in 13 years, we've had 13 million views, about 55,000 subscribers. The most viewed program on YouTube remains The New Throne of David. And that I think we've had over 1.3 million views of that program in the past 2 years. It's a great program. It's obviously been beefed up with some advertising, and yet that's a lot of views of that program. If you visit our webpage, our YouTube home page, you'll find hundreds of programs there. It's complemented by many other PCG news channels or channels on YouTube. So have at it on YouTube. Go take a look there. One of the only programs over the years that has been rejected by stations is the Coronavirus and Holy Roman Empire program. That program aired in April, just this past April, a few weeks ago. And one of our stations in Chicago refused to carry that program. And that's the first time ever in probably 20 years with that station that they rejected a program. Turns out that that was our second most responsive new program we've taped in the last 3 years. So, again, not counting repeats, if you just look at all of the new episodes, that was the second most popular one in the last 3 years. There have been 15,000 views on YouTube of that program. I don't believe we promoted it with advertising, and so it's really a great program, and I'll come back to that at the end of today's Trumpet Daily Radio episode. But first, we're going to take a break and come back with some news, so stick with us.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Who and what is God? That is a mystery not understood by any religion, not explained by science, untaught by higher education. The intellectually vain originators of the evolutionary theory found the existence of God, as presented by religion, a mystery they could neither understand nor accept. But the religionists, whom they rejected, did not themselves understand the mystery of God. Yet God does reveal himself through his word, the Holy Bible, if these religionists would only believe God's own revelation. It is only in this inspired book that God reveals himself. But mankind in general has never believed God. That is, what God says. Mystery of the Ages explains the Bible. In this book, you will find answers to the most perplexing questions of our day. We offer it to you, the viewer, at no cost or obligation. Request Mystery of the Ages today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Well, thank you for listening to the Trumpet Daily radio program this morning. You can send comments, if you're so inclined, to td@kpcg.fm. Richard Palmer sent me some comments from yesterday's programming, and I thought I'd just reserve those for Mr. Stephen Fleury to use at his discretion. This world is really moving along at a blistering pace. And while we have been focused on the anti-patriotic movement, the Marxist movement, communist, whatever you want to label it, it's tearing our nation apart. It's tearing apart the nations of Israel. While all of that's going on here, there are other hot spots around the world that we need to monitor. And that really reinforces the point why you should subscribe to the print edition of the Philadelphia Trumpet. Of course, you should follow all of our online offerings as well, again, if that's your preference. But you have to really just try to get that magazine, because we cover a lot of things that if you weren't paying attention, you'd get caught off guard. The news media definitely has a very refined attention span. And even though there's thousands of things going on, they tend to really narrow their focus. We do our best to watch what God says is most important. And so sign up for the Trumpet, the Philadelphia Trumpet, if you don't have that. Definitely keep up with our resources that we offer online. We don't want you caught off guard. We want you to know what the Bible says is coming. Really, our materials, the church materials, should be your first source of intelligence gathering. And that's really what we should be doing, is intelligently watching what's taking place and not getting distracted. Herbert Armstrong devoted his life to warning the world and to educating people, starting these youth programs, putting a focus on music. But really, his prime purpose was to warn the world. And he gave a great Bible-based program, a prophecy-based program, 38 years and 1 week ago when it aired. It was back in 1982. And I just want to play just the very first couple, like the minute or two of the opening of this program. It's very sobering, and I think it sets the stage for what we'll talk about. So we'll go to clip five, please.
Nuclear war is definitely coming. Bible prophecies show that whole cities are going to be laid waste in our time. The August number of the Plain Truth magazine will carry a cover article, "Humanity Won't End in a Nuclear Holocaust." This article is going to show you the terrors of a nuclear holocaust, and it is coming, but there is also good news. Humanity won't end, and on beyond is going to come a real happy and peaceful world tomorrow that we've been proclaiming on this program for a long, long time. A former professor at Harvard University, now president of a society called Physicians for Social Responsibility, has said, quote, "We'll be lucky to survive the year of 1990. Survival is the only issue that counts now."
Mr. Armstrong made that point over and over, and you hear Mr. Fleury say the same thing, that survival is the chief concern of humanity. We might not talk about it. We might be worried about coronavirus. But the Bible says that there's a very different reason why that question is valid. Now, as Mr. Armstrong was very capable of doing, he laid the facts before you. He used the Bible to prove where things were going. And it always ended with that positive message. There is a bumpy road ahead of us. And yet we travel down that road and it ends with the return of Jesus Christ and some really inspiring times. You even get that message portrayed through Celtic Throne if you're watching carefully. There isn't really a location on this planet where you could escape the feeling that something terrible is brewing. It's a frightening prospect. You could, you know, go to a yacht in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and still you'd know there's something wrong. Civil war in the English-speaking nation seems pretty likely. Other nations are lining up to fulfill Bible prophecy, unbeknownst to them, of course. And if you're familiar with your Bible, if you're familiar with what we teach in our publications, what we teach on this radio station, then you'd be comforted to know, as Mr. Armstrong said, life won't end that way. But we are getting pretty close, aren't we? Prophecies in the book of Daniel give us a sequence of events to watch. And when you supplement that with dozens of other prophecies and you start to put the pieces of the puzzle together, the picture is pretty clear. We are very close to the return of Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier, there are just six verses in the prophet Daniel's writings in Daniel chapter 11. If you have a Bible, you might want to get it, although I'm pretty sure you're familiar with these verses. Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45, you see a sequence there, prophecies about the coming troubles. You can read about those prophecies and have them expanded in our booklets, Daniel Unsealed at Last, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, The King of the South, Russia and China and Prophecy, a lot of articles. Those are foundational prophecies. And I'll tell you why. I'll quote verse 40 here. Daniel 11 verse 40 says, "And at the time of the end, our time today, shall the king of the south push at him. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and horsemen, with many ships. He shall enter into the countries, shall overflow and pass over." Yes, you could just read through that. It's pretty dramatic. But there is a lot of intelligence in that verse there, talking about a push from a king in the south. And the response is overwhelming. It's not just a little shove back. It's a whirlwind. It's a full-on military assault. Daniel 11 sets the stage for the time at the end, and it tells us what to watch for. I'm sure you know that radical Islam, headed by the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, Iran. Well, radical Islam and Iran, they are the king of the south, and they're prophesied to push at a king of the north. If you've been watching news over the last few weeks, you are finding more stories about Iran, their continued efforts to develop nuclear weapons and the missile systems to deliver those nuclear weapons, their intent on wiping Israel from the face of the earth. I mean, that should sound familiar to us. You heard them chant, "Death to America, death to Israel." And yet the previous U.S. administration seemed intent to help them, to help the Iranians with their goal. Now, there's way too much to talk about here. That's not what I'm going to get into now. But you really should read America Under Attack. It's a must read, and it'll prove everything that I just glossed over there. The nation of Israel, or biblical Judah over in the Middle East, they're keenly aware of Iran's intention. They know that it's more than just words. And so they, the Israelis, that is, they've been quite active over the past 2 weeks with covert operations. They're working to thwart Iran's ambitions for nuclear weapons to try to slow them down. I have an article here from military.com. This is July 7th. The article title is, "With a View Toward Iran, Israel Launches a Spy Satellite." The article says, Israel said it successfully launched a new spy satellite into space on Monday, as its leaders hinted it was behind a massive fire at an Iranian nuclear site last week, potentially ratcheting up long-running covert war. And so the Israelis are launching satellites to space, but they're also active on the ground. The satellite, as Mr. Netanyahu said, is going to enhance their ability to monitor the region from a number of different satellites. He said it will greatly expand our ability to act on land, at sea, and in the air, and perhaps even in space. And so you see the Israelis using technology. They're aware of what's going on in Iran. I won't get into all the details, but if you just go back and look at news from Iran, it started with a massive explosion. The first person that saw it, that showed it to me, they asked if it was a nuclear explosion over by Tehran, and it was a big one. There have been fires. The Iranians initially came out and said, well, actually, it wasn't that big of a fire, and had to correct the story days later when pictures emerged of the facility that was really burned up. They said that it was much more powerful than initially indicated, and it could delay research and development for the medium term. If you just think about what that's communicating, they didn't say for the short term. So this fire did set them back. It's not a small setback. It caused extensive damage to their facility where they're, I believe, putting together centrifuges to use to refine the uranium. This article says Israel, which accuses Iran of trying to develop nuclear weapons, has neither confirmed nor denied involvement in the fire, but a growing pile of evidence is pointing toward Israel. This article talks about the United States and Israel working together with a Stuxnet computer virus that attacked Iran's nuclear program. That was about 10 years ago. This is more recently. Israel uncovered what it called Iran's nuclear archive, a collection of thousands of documents seized by Mossad agents from Tehran warehouse in 2018. Earlier this year, Israel was suspected of crippling an Iranian port in a hacking attack in response to an alleged Iranian cyber attack that targeted Israel's water supply. That attack on Israel wasn't successful, but here the Israelis continue to push back and work to slow down what's taking place in Iran. Daniel 11, verse 40, again, it suggests that the type of the action of the king of the south is to push, to antagonize, to not go all out in war, but to provoke. And who are they provoking? Who are they stirring up? Well, Daniel 11 says the king of the north or the Holy Roman Empire. So the king of the south has to do something to provoke this response. The Israelis are slowing things down a little bit right now, but they don't factor into this particular prophecy per se. This is an attack from radical Islam against Europe. The Iranians are trying to draw Europe into the mix, and that's a terrible miscalculation. Another article here, this one from the Times of Israel from July 6th. The title is Mossad Said to Foil Iranian Attacks on Israeli Embassies in Europe and Elsewhere. It goes on to give some of the details here. They didn't list which countries, but the report here from the Israeli says frustration is growing fast in Iran. And then further down, they talked about the fire that the Israelis set, and they said it could set back the Iranian nuclear program by as much as a year. A year is a long time prophetically. Again, just the Mossad is behind quite a few things they detail here. They say this is Times of Israel from a couple days ago. In 2018, Iran showed off a couple of different centrifuge sites in what was seen as a warning to Europe to stick to the nuclear deal after the withdrawal from the accord by the U.S. Pictures have also purported to show other centrifuges at Natanz, though Iranian officials have also said the site could not yet handle ultra-advanced centrifuges. The fire was one of a series of mysterious disasters to strike sensitive Iranian sites in recent days, leading to speculation that it may be the result of a sabotage campaign. And so the Israelis are slowing things down. The Iranians are trying to respond in Europe to push Europe around a little bit, just as prophecy shows. Another article here, I won't take the time to go through it. The title of this article is Why Do Things Keep Blowing Up in Iran? And it's pretty neat. I think the Israelis are behind all of it. The Jerusalem Post reported that they used F-35 fighters, some of the more advanced fighter jets flying out of Israel to take on those Iranian targets. And so the Israelis are quite active. And it's something we obviously watch what's taking place in Jerusalem, but we're also watching Tehran, and we're seeing that they're stirring trouble up with Europe. There is a temporary resurgence, as we've talked about, in the United States and even with Israel, but it's short-lived. Satan is against that resurgence. And that the focus of Satan's attack is to wipe Israel, the United States, Britain, Judah, to wipe all of them out of existence. God grants some short-term success to this resurgence so he can complete his work of warning, this work that you're listening to right now. But time is running out, not just for this world, but even for this program. I've got to move on here. Verse 41 of Daniel chapter 11 says, "He shall enter also into the glorious land." This is speaking of the king of the north. "And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape." We have an article about the Psalm 83 alliance that is a must read in connection with this. But here, this king of the north that responds like a whirlwind, and many countries are affected. It's not just Iran. They make their way down into the Middle East. This European beast power that's headed by Germany in a political sense, and spiritually it's manipulated by Satan's great false church. It's going to rise. It's going to be strong. And again, we'll get to that in the last segment of today's program. But just to wrap up this thought here, while everything's going on with the push from Iran, the response from the king of the north, well, the kings of the east are also active, and it's all part of the same prophecy. Everything's complex. Everything is orderly and structured, but it's a multi-front prophecy. You have to watch everything. So what has been going on with Russia and China? Verse 44 of Daniel 11 says, "But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many." So we are watching Russia and China. Starts with a push, a whirlwind response, and then this devastating fury with the intention to destroy and utterly make away many. That's pretty sobering when you think about it. And that's what Mr. Armstrong was talking about. Listen to this. I heard this, I think this is even quoted in the news at the top of this program. This is a report from Fox News from yesterday. FBI Director Wray says half of the Bureau's 5,000 counterintelligence cases are related to China. Yeah, the problem is with China. This article says FBI Director Christopher Wray on Tuesday warned Americans that the Chinese government's theft of American information is taking place on so large a scale. Suspected incidences make up nearly one half of his bureau's counterintelligence cases. Speaking at an event hosted at the Hudson Institute in Washington, Wray said that, quote, Chinese thefts amount to one of the largest transfers of wealth in human history. And he says American people are the victims. He says if you're an American adult, it's more likely than not that China has stolen your personal data. It's more likely. We're all concerned about everything else that's going on, and yet they have all of that information. This, he says that the Chinese use a diverse range of sophisticated techniques, from cyber intrusions to insider trading. He said even outright physical theft. They use students at schools. They plant employees. Pretty sophisticated spy chain, and they're moving wealth. They're moving intellectual property from the United States into China. This director of the FBI talks about the social media platforms used by Americans. It plays right into the hand of what the Chinese are doing. I'm going to play a clip for you here in just a second. But just a side note, we've been saying for a long time, you really need to be careful with your smart devices, with the apps that you're running on those devices. And as the FBI is warning, those apps, some of the most popular ones, are Chinese in origin, and they're used to steal that, or to steal your identity, to steal other information. It's really a difficult situation. This clip that I want to play is from a couple days ago. It's the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He was being interviewed by Laura Ingraham, and she was asking him about TikTok. It's an app that's pretty popular right now. It's an app that's actually used by the communists or the anti-patriot movements to help coordinate their attacks, to publicize what they're doing. But listen to what he says here about the TikTok app. This is clip number 8, please.
And finally, Mr. Secretary, the huge Chinese app TikTok has about 30 million users in the United States, but it's been banned now by India, and Australia is considering the same action, saying that TikTok was full of mass surveillance and propaganda, and also that the app had the ability to feed information straight to Beijing. So kind of obvious question. If all that's the case, shouldn't we be considering right now, tonight, a ban on Chinese social media apps, especially TikTok?
Laura, your viewers should know we're taking this very seriously. We're certainly looking at it. We've worked on this very issue for a long time, whether it was the problems of having Huawei technology in your infrastructure. We've gone all over the world, and we're making real progress getting that out. We declared ZTE a danger to American national security. We've done all of these things with respect to Chinese apps on people's cell phones. I can assure you the United States will get this one right, too, Laura. I don't want to get out in front of the president, but it's something we're looking at.
Would you recommend that people download that app on their phones tonight, tomorrow, anytime currently?
Only if you want your private information in the hands of the Chinese Communist Party.
I love that response and how true it is. We can be so naive, and yet there can be a lot of problems associated with that. I was going to take a break. We don't have time. I've got to move on here. I wanted to talk a little bit about coronavirus and prompt you to go back and watch Mr. Fleury's Key of David program on coronavirus in the Holy Roman Empire. As you go through the last verse there in Daniel 11, you can keep that graphic up, but the last verse of Daniel 11 talks about the coming of God's kingdom. And you'll find this program, the Key of David program, coronavirus and the Holy Roman Empire. That's really a must watch for you. But leading up to that, I wanted to talk a little bit about what's happening with public schools and what's happening with the federal government. I was going to play a clip. I don't need to anymore. We'll skip clip number 1. But you can watch the news. I guarantee tonight it'll be on the news. It was pretty heavily focused on yesterday. The issue now of should we reopen schools in the midst of a pandemic? It's a very complex issue. There's a lot of legal maneuvering back and forth. But I would just argue that the leftists don't want to bring the children back to school. And as this issue is complex, as I said, if you're pushing an agenda, well, then the truth is obscured. And the damage is done. And the damage is being done to children. Plenty of studies, just common sense will tell you that the children need to be back in school. The disruption at the end of the last school year was pretty devastating. And now they're questioning whether or not it's safe to return. Yesterday, President Donald Trump and his wife spoke at the White House about their push to get the state governors to reopen their schools, to just look at the facts and the statistics. The government is doing what they can. The immigration and customs enforcement, ICE, as we know them, they made a change yesterday. I guess it was 2 days ago, they announced that any international student attending a U.S. university or college that's here on an F-1 or a J-1 visa, if those colleges or universities do not have in-person classes, if it's online only, those visas are revoked and the students must be deported. They said that if you're coming into the United States on one of those visas and your school is not offering any in-person classes, then your visa will be denied. That's effective right now. You could read their statement on the news if you want. And of course, Berkeley, listen to this headline from this morning. Berkeley students planning fraudulent course to circumvent ICE rules and avoid deportations. So, of course, it's fine for the universities to allow the students to do illegal acts to circumvent what the government is trying to enforce. And so you see this building pressure now. It's going to be something for us to watch, the reopening of schools. Who will do it? What measures are to be taken? It's going to change people's lives. Well, I will just say that God's College here and our classes over at Edstone, those are in-person classes. We have been granted visas. We're in the process of moving students around. In the next couple weeks, we'll be doing that. Again, your prayers to have that go smoothly are much appreciated. But we're compliant with the law. But we're also going to school in faith because we know the importance of teaching our young people. Again, if you think back to everything I said at the beginning of the program, that's how important this is. Now, earlier in this program, I mentioned that Key of David program, coronavirus and the Holy Roman Empire. And I have just a couple clips to play for you that hopefully will inspire you to go back and watch the program. So we'll begin with clip number 2, please.
Will the coronavirus usher in the deadly Holy Roman Empire? The European Union is having a lot of virus problems and economic problems that are really, really severe. And the coronavirus is hastening that day, hastening it very, very much. And I tell you, this Holy Roman Empire, this superpower that's on the world scene, is going to affect your life directly.
So how much are we hearing about the connection between coronavirus and the Holy Roman Empire? I just mentioned schools. We know about sporting events, concerts. All of that has the attention of this world. And meanwhile, it's helping coalesce this Holy Roman Empire over in Europe. As you watch that Key of David program, Mr. Fleury communicates a real sense of urgency. We have a great book. It's called The New Throne of David. And within that book, it talks about prophecies in Zechariah 6. And that chapter shows how God is in control of world events. And he's dispatched different angels to cause, to restrain, to work with all the events in the world. You really need to read that book, The New Throne of David. Ironically, it all ties into the Celtic Throne music production. One of the most exciting numbers is called Conflict, and it all builds around this. And in fact, the last piece where Jordan Serenga dances, the graphics on the back screen looks like a coronavirus to me as it's rolling through behind him. Hopefully, you get a chance to watch that, and you can tell me if I'm crazy or not. But anyway, it looks like coronavirus. Let's get back to Mr. Fleury. This is clip number 3, please.
We need to be thinking about that those 10 kings that are about to rise on the scene. The European Union is about to become much smaller, and that's all going to happen within perhaps this year, and no more than 2 to 4 years. If you look at Bible prophecy, I think you can pretty precisely predict that as well, or prophesy that as well.
So you see from watching the Key of David program, as I said, nobody's has their eyes on Europe. We do. And you start to hear timelines that were expressed there. And it shows you how urgently we need to be listening to the message that God is proclaiming through Gerald Fleury, through the Philadelphia Church of God. We have so much material, as we say, all of the time. That program is really a good one to go back and remind yourself what we should be watching for. Don't be distracted. Don't be fooled by what Satan is doing. We have the Trumpet Daily Radio program, the Trumpet Hour, the Key of David. We have all of the other programs that help prepare us to help us know what to watch for. We have programs like Live by Every Word that educates us along the way. We have this responsibility to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. There's a John 15 talks about a parable of Christ, or records a parable of Christ about a vine. And it doesn't take a lot of intellect to understand exactly what Jesus Christ is talking about there. You can go study that on your own. If you're not attached to the vine, you're withering and dying. You're going to be caught off guard. There are crises building. Nation states are maneuvering, and even unbeknownst to them, everything is flowing according to Bible prophecy. It's like a master chess game, except it's really not a competition at all. God is firmly in control. And as you watch all of these events that just really seem horrific, they all honestly do build to some very, very good news. I wanted to, and I think I will, I just want you to go back and watch that program. We'll skip the rest of the clips from that. But I wanted to play for you out of the words of the men who we quote all the time, Winston Churchill and Douglas MacArthur. I wanted you to hear their words. These are great historical figures that knew something bigger was afoot than what was happening at that precise moment. Listen to these famous quotes right from their mouths. We'll start with clip 6, please.
That he must indeed have a blind soul who cannot see that some great purpose and design is being worked out here below, of which we have the honor to be the faithful servants.
So there's something bigger being worked out here below. Sorry, I got distracted there for a moment. I wanted to leave room for Mr. MacArthur, General MacArthur, to speak. The point is, if you look at society, if you look at what's taking place in God's church, if you focus on the summer educational programs, the Feast of Tabernacles, the ministerial conference, it's all based in education. Because this world is crumbling. It doesn't know how to solve its problems. God is teaching. He's teaching us how to solve those problems. You can listen to statesmen like Winston Churchill or Douglas MacArthur, and as they factored into history, they themselves will admit they don't really know where it's all leading. All they can see is that something dramatic has to change if we're to survive. And as Mr. Armstrong said in that quote at the beginning, we will survive. We will actually step into the most beautiful, most amazing future that lies ahead of us. I'll give Douglas MacArthur the last word on today's program. And again, it's a famous quote that you'll recognize. And I just wanted to thank you for listening and encourage you to be mindful of all of the events that the church is involved in right now, to stay abreast of those, to keep them in your prayers, and to really work toward the success of all these educational programs. So we'll wrap up today with some famous words from General Douglas MacArthur.
Men, since the beginning of time, have sought peace. Various methods through the ages have been attempted to devise an international process to prevent a settled dispute between nations. From the very start, workable methods were found insofar as individual citizens were concerned. But the mechanics of an instrumentality of larger international scope have never been successful. Military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn failed, leaving the only path to be by way of the crucible of war. The utter destructiveness of war now blots out this alternative. we have had our last chance. If we do not devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door. The problem, basically, is theological and involves a spiritual recrudescence and improvement of human character that will synchronize with our almost matchless advance in science, art, literature, and all material and cultural developments of the past 2,000 years. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh.